broadcasting from Indianapolis, Indiana.
USA.
You're listening to Forgotten Favorites.
Forgotten Favorites.
On the Worldwide Legend.
Visit our new website at legendoldies.com. Request a song. See what's currently playing. View the weekly schedule in your local time zone and learn more about your favorite DJs. Listen to talk shows when you want with your computer, Victor Stream, or iPhone, including All Things Radio, ATR Extra, Coffee Club, and Sports Lounge Live. Connect to our Zoom voice chat rooms to talk with us live using your computer, iPhone, or telephone. All this and much more at legendoldies.com. Welcome to Sports Lounge Live, a weekly talk show covering baseball, basketball, football, NASCAR, plus the latest sports news, both pro and college. Hear past talk shows on your phone by calling the Conversation Station or as a podcast on your iPhone, Victor Stream, or computer. Visit legendoldies.com for links to automatically connect via your computer or iPhone. Call the sports aficionados at area code 646-876-9923 and enter the PIN 287-723-4600, followed by the pound key twice. And now, your hosts, Chris Devon, Perry Lester, Sean Platts, and Bill Sparks.
Well, a very good Sunday evening to you, and welcome to the Sports Lounge Live. I'm Bill Sparks, ready to turn it over to Chris. Take it away, Chris.
All right. Hey, everybody. It's April 28th, 2019, number 39 on our illustrious journey to forever here on the Sports Lounge Live. And we got a pretty busy show tonight. We're going to have a sports excerpt. We'll talk about that later, about John Havlicek, who died. I'll give you some of his information at the end of our little basketball segment. And then we'll talk a little bit about what you're going to hear from April 15th, 1965. So we're going back to one of the iconic sports calls in the history, really. I think it's right there with the Giants win the pennant. It's one of those famous calls that everybody knows, but you'll hear the whole setup to it. It's about a 5 or 6 minute thing with Johnny Most and Jim Pansulo and Al Granite, and I'll explain who they were and all that. So anyway, though, what we're going to do first is we're going to do the NBA playoffs and the NBA. We're going to run down that whole first round and make sure you know how that turned out, because it wasn't all over by any means when we were on last week. We'll do the NBA stuff, do the same for the NHL. Then we will do the NFL draft. We have information on that and any NFL transactions we know of. And then we'll do baseball. And then there is actually one little college football note about a big contract in college football coaching circles. And then we will see what else we're going to talk about, and then we'll get to that John Havlicek info. But anyway, here is Sean with all the other information about where to hear us and how to do what.
Well, we want to promote our friends and people that support us and contribute, such as our buddy Ringside Robert, who you can hear his boxing podcast, because we're not boxing experts. We don't even pretend to be. And that's where you can go to ringsidereporter.com or 773-572-7715. You can get all your information over there. Also, if you're a fan of pro wrestling, shooting the you-know-what with Sean, I am reviewing a documentary called Dark Side of the Ring. And this last week, they talked about the murder of the legendary Bruiser Brody. They went to the whole thing. I'm reviewing that. And next week, I'll be reviewing one on the Von Erichs. That's at 773-572-7867. And of course, if you want to leave us any comments, questions, criticisms, those of you that are listening throughout the week on the podcast, which we'll tell you later, or even if you're listening live and you think of something throughout the week, dial 773-572-7715, which that is where you leave us all your stuff. By the way, I think I said 7715 is for Robert. He's at 7781, by the way. But 7715 is where you listen. You leave us a message. Do not mark it private. When you hear the show, hit pound key, and we'll all hear it. And, you know, we had a lot of good playoffs. Well, somewhat good playoff in one, but, so-so first round and kind of a beginning of a good in the NBA. So I guess let's get right on to it.
Okay, so we'll run down those first round results, and so you'll hear where your favorite team ended up if you missed the action in the last week. We already knew when we talked last week that the Celtics had beaten Indiana in 4 games. We talked about that and how they were all pretty competitive games. Indiana hung in there a lot better than Detroit. They were saying that Detroit, if it was a fight, it would have been stopped in the fourth round or something, because Milwaukee just ran over them in four games. No games were close, no doubt. So they swept the Pistons in four games. And then in the other bracket in the East, Toronto beat Orlando 4-1. And Philadelphia beat Brooklyn 4-1. Brooklyn had won the first game in Philadelphia, but then that was it. Sixers took control and won that series pretty easily after all. In the West, Golden State had some trouble with the Clippers, but they managed to beat them 4-2, six games, wrapped that up on Friday night. Houston over Utah 4-1. We had Denver beating San Antonio 4-3, and we'll talk about that game because that was just last night, so we'll talk about the end of that game. And Portland beat Oklahoma City 4-1. So now we have
and
our...
And with Chris, with that Clippers loss, we always like to hit the media stuff. Ralph Lawler, the longtime voice of the L.A. Clippers, has retired now at the end of that game. So the Clippers will be looking
for... He was mostly doing TV, right? He was on TV for the most part.
They'll be looking now for a new TV announcer.
Okay, because they're going to keep that guy, Brian, whoever he is, on the radio, right?
Brian Seaman, yes. He will be on radio. Yeah. And, of course, we know that as I look for all this stuff, as you well know, he used to be the voice of the Des Moines Dragons way back in the IBL.
Okay, all right. We are going to work on the Iowa. Perry's loaded for bear this week. He's got Iowa references you won't even believe. We got three or four coming up. You're going to enjoy this. This is good. Okay, so the NBA playoff games that were played this weekend, we had Toronto beating Philadelphia 108-95. Now, I was listening to the Bruins game, and I was asking Miss A about the score of this, and it seemed like immediately Toronto got about a 13-point lead, and every time I asked her, it was 11, 13, or 15 points. Nothing was happening. Basically, that was a done deal. Toronto took over. I guess Kawhi Leonard had a great game, and so they were off.
Yeah, Kawhi Leonard.
And they apparently had a bad losing streak in game ones in these series. Well, they took care of that last night. So they now lead the series 1-0, and they get back in action tomorrow night, Monday night, 8 p.m. in Toronto. The other game last night was Denver over San Antonio, 90-86. San Antonio had quite a comeback again. I was checking on because the Bruins went into overtime.
Denver was up by 17 at one point, and San Antonio made a comeback. And it was almost what happened in game two in opposite when San Antonio hit a huge lead and then Denver came. But, of course, San Antonio at the end, young play, inexperienced. They weren't fouling. They weren't fouling. Popovich was hollering for him or was getting mad. They weren't fouling, but they supposedly didn't hear it. But, no, the youth, and that's what you can say, the youth caught up with them. It's not an excuse. They really shouldn't have blown the game two. If they hadn't have blown game two, it wouldn't have been in game seven. They would have won it in game six on Thursday. But they did a very young mistake. Now we get to see what happens next year.
Yeah, well, and that's really, I get that Popovich is a great coach, and I know that you look to your coach, and kids are taught to listen to your coach. Well, you can't always hear your coach because it's a noisy environment. You've got to know a few things. You got to know that you're down by two scores, 25 seconds. Denver just scored to make it 90-86. You have to foul. You have to extend the game. You've got to have, if they had fouled early on, they could have had two or three more chances, a couple missed free throws, a chance at a three, whatever, down the road. You've got to know that instinctively. You got to know yourself. You got to know a little bit about the game. And I know they're young, but really,
that goes back to, some of them are international, but it also, a lot of them are international players, but still that goes back to that AAU and lack of coaching that they get in the AAU. Where they got that in high school and college, but all these guys are AAU superstars, a lot of them. And it's not just with the Spurs. I notice it in a lot of teams, like we'll talk about the Milwaukee game here, others. You see that AAU and international, they don't think about, the fouling, they just, let's win it. They don't stress that enough. That's one of the fundamental parts.
Well, and there is some math involved. We always kid around, hey, is there any math involved here? And occasionally we'll have our sports group and something will come up where you have to explain to people how the math works to cause something to happen. And there is some math. You've got to know the 25 seconds, 4 points, and you would get the ball. If nothing happens, if you stop them perfectly, you'll get the ball back with 1 second and you'll be able to score those four points in 1 second. I don't think so. So you have to foul. You got to know that. Yeah, but that's too bad that they're not being trained the fundamentals. We were talking about back in the day with Bird and Magic. No one would have had to tell Bird or Magic or McHale or Worthy or anything what to do. They would have just gone out and done it. McHale would have taken somebody's head off or something, and they would have had a foul. Okay, and on Sunday, we had the Celtics go into Milwaukee and silence the Milwaukee fans with at the score of 112-90. They had a 15-point lead early on. The Bucks came back at 15 in a row right at the end of the half, tied it up, took a brief lead, but really the Celtics stopped Giannis. I mean, that was the big thing. Al Horford really played a great game against them, and they just really, they had him shooting three-pointers, and that's not what he wants to do because he couldn't get inside, and the rest of the team could not pick it up, and the Celtics really, you know, they're the Celtics that we expected to see at the beginning of the year now, and they've got as good a chance to win the title as anybody else, and that's going to be a really good series. Milwaukee's not going away anywhere, but and their next game is going to be Tuesday night at 8 o'clock Eastern time. And yeah, it was very quiet in Milwaukee. You wouldn't have known. That's one of the noisier buildings, but not today, that's for sure. And so the Celtics are up one game to none. And then Golden State beat Houston in the second game, 104-100. So they lead 1-0, and that's going to be a good series. Of course, last year they had a great series with until what it was, Chris Paul got hurt, and then they had to, you know, Houston ended up losing the series. But they really had a good series last year, and they're in for a good one this year. And people are saying that they think that these eight teams are going to be very evenly matched, that all those series are going to be good series because, you know, you expect Philadelphia to bounce back. But apparently, Perry, you were saying that Tom McGinnis, the Sixers announcer, was not very happy with his team last night. Well, Perry, whatever.
No, they were not very happy.
There we go, Chris. Yeah, I'm here. Okay. I was checking the Cubs score.
Yeah, get those Cubs. Yeah, but Tom McGinnis said if they don't play much better, that they're going to be gone very soon.
That's what he said. If they don't play significantly better on Monday night, he said we will go home 0-2, and he said it's your own fault.
Right.
And by the way, and the end of the Warriors Houston game, there was a technical foul, but there was question. Chris Paul was called for a technical foul. He was going up, you know, for rebound. He was called. And what it is, they ever since, you remember it, and speaking of Golden State, when it came down on Kawhi Leonard's foot a couple of years ago, and the Spurs had a huge lead in that game, they've been what they talk about, protecting the landing spot. And apparently Paul got a little close in there, and they were trying to say, oh, well, he, you know, they were protecting, called as a technical. It was his second technical. He was ejected from the game. There was questions on whether they do or not. So this could get animated, this whole series. And by the way, the games tomorrow night, you have game two with Philly at Toronto at 8 Eastern, and then, of course, Portland at Denver, game one at 10:30, and then, you know, Tuesday, of course, you know, like I said, the Boston, Milwaukee, and then Houston, Golden State, game two at 8 and 10:30, respectively.
Right, and so the other thing they've said that this is becoming quite a rivalry. They've said 4 out of the last 5 years, I think it is, that Houston and Golden State have met in the playoffs. So when you meet that often, you know, people remember the bad blood from the year before. These are good teams, so it's not like you have new players all over the place, and so they're going to remember, you know, this one's going to remember that one, and when you hit them 3 years ago. So there could be some bad blood. So we have some NBA notes, and one is the sad one that we're going to go through the statistics of, and then we'll talk about just before the excerpt we're going to play. But John Havlicek died. He was 79 years old. He died of Parkinson's disease. He went to Ohio State. He was there from 59 through 62. He was part of the 1960 championship team. He and Jerry Lucas won the championship at Ohio State in 1960. Not only that, but they went on to play the Cincinnati team in 61 and 62 in the finals, with Cincinnati winning, and that was Oscar Robertson. So, winning those games. So it was quite a run for Ohio State with John Havlicek. Then he came to the Celtics with the 7th pick. Now, I know there were territorial draft picks and this and that, and I don't really know the 62 draft. I'd be curious who the 6 players that people thought were going to be better than John Havlicek. One thing was he was drafted by the Browns. And I think as a tight end. And so maybe there was a little doubt as to whether he was going to play basketball or football. I don't know. There was no mention in the obituary of him playing football at Ohio State. But teams would do that back then. If somebody was a really good athlete, they might pick him off and say, we can get him up as a football player. But Chet Walker, I know, was drafted ahead of him, who was a good player. He was drafted by Syracuse. That's one I know. know. Other than that, I don't know who the other five guys were. It's a you know, Michael Jordan kind of thing. You know, how did you do that? How did Paul Pierce go ninth? How did, you know, whatever, these different things that have happened over the years that you look at the people ahead of them and you say, what the heck were people thinking? Okay, so that was 62 through 78 he played for the Celtics, 62, 63 through 77, 78. He won eight titles. He was the 1974 Finals MVP, and that's when he beat Oscar Robertson. That was in Milwaukee, a seven-game series, and the Celtics won in Milwaukee in a very quiet building reminiscent of today's. And so that's when he finally got Oscar's number on that on a big stage. He was a 13-time NBA All-Star. He was four All-NBA teams, first teams. What else we got here for him? He was on the 35th NBA all team and the 50th. So the 50th anniversary and 35th anniversary all NBA teams. He scored 26,395 points, all-time Celtics leading scorer, a 20.8 points per game average. And he had 8,007 rebounds for 6.3 and 6,114 assists for 4.8. And he got in the Hall of Fame in 84. And so the thing is that he was the sixth man. Now, that role had been perfected by Frank Ramsey before him. And Frank Ramsey left, I think, the next year. But Havlicek supplanted him, and it didn't mean he wasn't in the game at the end of the game. And you'll hear a game where he certainly was back in 65. But he would come in off the bench, and just he had great stamina. They measured him one time, and his heart rate was lower than everybody else's. So he could just keep – he was the Energizer Bunny before they had one. He'd just keep going and going. And when you had him and the later team, of course, that many was with Bill Russell and Sam and Casey Jones and Tom Sanders and those guys, Bob Cousy, his first year. But then he was in with Cowens and JoJo White, Don Chaney, and Don Nelson, that second group that won in 74 and 76. And between Cowens and Havlicek, there was no, you know, they just had great work ethics. They just kept working, and you were never out of a game when they were playing. So quite a Hall of Famer, and you know, somebody that Ohio people can be proud of too. Okay, then we have we had a civil suit come up, and Luke Walton has been there's a civil suit been filed against him by a woman alleging sexual assault. Have you guys heard any more about that? That was early in the week. I don't know.
Walton says that this woman is trying to extort him for money.
Okay.
Yes. And it seems like a lot of people are kind of substantiating his story that he's, yeah, I've heard that this has happened before even.
Okay. He of course, was just named as the coach of the Sacramento Kings. So the Kings have not withdrawn their offer. So far they're standing by.
They are standing by him. They said, you know, they believe him. Right now, they believe it. So.
Okay. And then, Sean, you had a story earlier about Magic Johnson this week.
Okay, Rick Bucher from Bleacher Report, he wrote this on his article, and he was also on Colin Cowherd's show talking about this, and it made the rounds. Apparently, there was an email chain going back and forth between Jeannie Buss and Rob Pelinka, and Pelinka was complaining a lot about the Magic, and Jeannie Buss was like, well, yeah. He's not there. I know he didn't handle this situation right. They were back and forth about whether he was going to be able to handle free agents, whether his deals he made, the fact that he did or didn't show up. And apparently Magic somehow got on the email chain and saw all of the emails. And that is
why.
When
that happens. People have gotten in trouble for that one.
That is why he did it so abruptly that last game when they were going to talk to Rick Walton, they said, hey, I'm done, because he was hurt. Now, a lot of people think, oh, Magic and Jeannie, this great relationship. Well, Kobe Bryant, according to a lot of people, he has Jeannie's ear a little more. Now, he says he doesn't want to be the president, but he has Jeannie's ear. And remember, a lot of people forget this. Kobe is one of Phil's boys. Phil came because of Kobe and everything. That was one of his people. And Phil Jackson and Jeannie Buss, the little, I guess they're still together. I think they still are, but Kobe has her, and Rob Pelinka is one of Kobe's people. So Magic, rightfully so, felt a little hurt going, hey, you know what? He was going to hang on till July 1st and maybe help with some free agents, but you know, he's like, well, hey, I'm out of here. Now, if they were making the playoffs, would this have all came out? Who knows? But, you know, you got to be careful where you send your stuff. Make sure yeah. The wrong person doesn't get the email.
A friend of mine, their surprise birthday party got ruined because they forgot to take them off the email list. And he found out about a surprise birthday party because he got the email that everybody else got about the surprise birthday party. So, yeah, it happens all the time. You know, got to watch that. Okay, any more NBA notes, guys, or we can move on to the NHL?
I think we can go on to the NHL.
I think we got it.
All right. Okay.
By the way, if anybody wants to call in, 646, I forget, to 876-9923, and then or download the Zoom app, and then dial 287-723-4600. Hit the pound key twice, *6, mute you, unmute you, *9 raises your hand. So,
okay.
You
know. For the NHL, so we'll wrap up the first round and tell you where those went. In the East, it was Columbus over Tampa Bay, 4-0. We talked about that last week, the biggest upset in the magnitude of it. I mean, there's a lot more upsets. By the way, there were no upsets in the NBA in the first round. Just everybody who had home court ended up winning. Second round, I don't know. We're off to a little bit of a funky start on that one with Celtics showing, certainly, and Houston showing today was pretty strong.
Technically, Chris, the Blues upsetting the Jets was an upset because that was not a home.
That's right. That's right. No, there's plenty in the NHL. That's my point. NBA went all chalk, but the NHL did not. Far from it. So we had Columbus over Tampa Bay, 4-0. We had the Bruins beating Toronto, 4-3. Good seventh game on Tuesday night. Bruins pulled away late. It was 2-1 going to the third period. They ended up pulling away and winning 5-1. We had the Islanders over Pittsburgh, 4-0. Again, the magnitude was a surprise. That was not an upset. Islanders were the home ice team, but they swept the Penguins out of there. And Carolina over Washington, 4-3, and that was a seventh game, double overtime game. The Capitals have been, I forget what the statistic is, 6 or 7 seventh game overtime games they've had, and that's quite nerve-wracking. It's a wonder their fans haven't had heart attacks, but they lost this one in, I think, double overtime to Carolina. And then in the West, we had Colorado over Calgary, 4-1, another upset. We have had San Jose coming back against Vegas and winning 4-3. And what happened in that one, there was the situation was that the Sharks were down 3-0 in the third period. There was a 5-minute penalty for a cross check because it drew blood and so forth. And then there's a lot of different back and forth about it, whether it should have been called as severely or whether it should have been called at all, whatever. But I think most people agree that it should have been called. But anyway, Vegas didn't kill the penalty. I mean, San Jose came right down, got those goals, and they went back and forth. And finally, they won it in overtime, 5-4. So, you've got to execute. I mean, you're going to have a bad call sometimes. Things are going to happen, but you got to stand up and take care of it. And they did not. Okay. Then we had Dallas over Nashville, 4-2. That was an upset. And the Blues, you're right, Perry, was an upset with them beating Winnipeg 4-3. 4-2, I think that was, wasn't it? I think they beat them in 6 games. Yeah. Okay. Then we go into this weekend's action. And we had in round one in the East, we had Columbus. I got to get my other sheet, which is right here. Okay. We had the first game Saturday was Dallas over St. Louis, 4-2. That tied that series at 1 game apiece. The Blues had won on Thursday night. Dallas did what they needed to do. They got a win in St. Louis, 4-2 on Saturday afternoon. And Columbus did what they needed to do. They came in to TD Garden and beat the Bruins 3-2 in double overtime Saturday night, early Sunday morning. So that tied that series at 1-1. And game 3 of the St. Louis series is going to be tomorrow night at 8 o'clock Eastern in Dallas. And game 3 of the Bruins series against Columbus will be in Columbus Tuesday night at 7, I think it is. And then for this afternoon, one game was played, and that was Carolina over the New York Islanders, 2-1. The Islanders had lost 1-0 in overtime. They're playing at the Barclays Center. Right? They're back there. They hadn't played there since February 16th, as it turns out. So they're back at the Barclays Center, and Carolina has won both games. They won 1-0 in overtime on Friday night, and then they came back a 2 in the third to beat the Islanders 2-1. So now they're up 2-0, and they're going back to Raleigh with a 2-0 lead, and their game is going to be on Wednesday, I think. So there you go. I think Wednesday at 7 or 7:30. I'm not sure about the Wednesday game, but that's it for the NHL. It's been the NHL playoffs, as usual, have been a lot better than the NBA playoffs. I mean, it's just with the overtimes, with the closer games and so forth, the NBA hasn't really had. They had one fantastic finish there when who hit that long shot? I can't think the other night.
Damian Lillard
from Portland. Yeah, and yep. that they had that, and today they had the one close game. And last night the 4-point game with San Antonio.
I'd almost like to see the NBA playoffs just go back to a best of five because in the first round because there's never anything dramatic ever comes out of it hardly.
Yeah, well,
and of course,
I don't know.
Chris, in the NHL, San Jose, that game is just underway.
That's right. And yeah. So I guess now we can go to the NFL. And we have a few notes on that. We have info on the draft and some trades and so forth. And then Seattle, early in the week before the draft, traded defensive lineman Frank Clark to Kansas City and Kansas City's first choice. And then this year, their second choice in 2020, and they swapped thirds this year. And so that was their franchise guy, but they realized that they weren't going to sign him, so they figured, let's get something and move on. So the top three draftees this year on Thursday night in Nashville, number one was Kyler Murray to Arizona. There was back and forth as to whether Cardinals are going to take Kyler Murray or not. Well, they did, and we'll hear why in a moment that what they did about that. But it's not that they have two quarterbacks, so they took care of that. Kyler Murray to Arizona, then from Oklahoma, then Nick Bosa to San Francisco. From Ohio State, and is his brother Joey Bosa the one from?
That is his brother. Yes,
and their great grandfather. There's a connection going back to the 1940s with their great uncle or their relative, Tony, and they explain the whole tree on this. Their family is connected to the actual Chicago mob in the 30s and 40s. One of the big working with Capone and all that.
They're enforcers. What you're saying is they're enforcers, yes, Sean. Yeah. Okay.
Basically, they are. They're enforcers.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. And then we had Quinton Williams from Alabama, defensive lineman to the Jets. Pierre is with us. Pierre and his famous Amazon device have arrived. Okay, then we have. All right. Do you have something you want to say right now, Pierre, while you have our attention, whether you want it or not?
Well, y'all were talking about the draft, the Southeastern Conference. They broke a record with 64 picks. That's the most that any conference has ever had.
Well, that's understandable. They were dominating the last couple of years in college football. It's no surprise to me.
And the Big 12 did not have anybody pick until the fourth round.
Wow. Okay.
There was in the third round with the Big 12 where they really started.
It was third round, and there were no wide receivers picked in the first round.
Okay.
No wide receivers.
I think the Patriots took a wide receiver from Arizona State and with number 32 or something.
That was at the end of the first. But and the whole thing, of course. I don't know. The Giants, you got to wonder what they're thinking. Jones out of Duke. He's one of the Manning boys, connected to all them. David Cutcliffe, but he was the sixth-ranked quarterback, the 69th player overall. The Giants had a chance to do something. Josh Rosen was available. Apparently, they had a chance to – they were offered – Arizona said, give us a second and a fourth. And throwing a couple other, and the Giants, said, "Oh no, we're gonna take this quarterback." They could have had Josh Rosen. Where instead, now this is a bonehead on Arizona. Basically, he goes to Miami. They swap second round picks, and they get Miami's fifth round pick for Josh Rosen. And they didn't even try to trade him too much before. It's like when you trade him after the pick is made, his value goes way down. You try to trade him before, because then they know, hey, you can get more. They're like, oh, well, hey, you got Kyler Murray. We don't have to give as much for you now.
That's
so
right.
It was boneheaded on the Giants for picking. Now, this quarterback may be okay. He may be playing behind Eli. You never know, because Tom Brady was a fourth rounder. I understand that. But when you have a chance, Josh Rosen proved himself, but it just shows what these two franchises, especially the Bidwell family and, the group with the Giants. Now, they say they're trying to get, quote-unquote, character issues. They had a chance at Ed Oliver. They could have traded for Josh Rosen. They could have gotten Ed Oliver at number six.
Well, that's
Ed
when,
Oliver, but they didn't want him.
Now, Gil
Brandt, when Lee Corso got mad and left the set because he was upset that the Giants, they had another quarterback out there that was much better. And that's when Lee Corso got up and left the
Okay,
state.
That's when he left the set. Okay, I was wondering why he left the set. I'd heard he left. I didn't realize.
Right. People bet on these things. Did he bet on this? Did he lose a bunch of money on that pick? And that's why he stormed off or something?
I don't know, but he was all upset.
The quarterback that they thought was better is Dwayne Haskins, the Ohio State.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, Dwayne Haskins, they thought Dwayne Haskins was ranked. Drew Locke was ranked higher than this Jones kid. And this is not a deep draft for quarterbacks. Drew Locke, there were two other quarterbacks ahead of, there were five other, but of course one, had already gone, Kyler Murray. He was a sixth ranked quarterback. And Duke wasn't that good this year.
No,
football.
They weren't. Now, the thing that I'm wondering about is Josh Rosen. We got the big quarterback last year. Said, "Oh, it's a great year for quarterbacks." He was one of the ones in the mix. Is it because was there a coaching change in Arizona? Is that why that he's
there was,
out
there
of
was,
favor?
Yes,
there was. And Cliff Kingsbury was brought in supposedly because they wanted Kyler Murray. Cliff Kingsbury, remember, he was fired at Texas Tech, and then he had gone out to USC to help with them, and then all of a sudden, Arizona said, "Hey, we want Kyler Murray." And Cliff Kingsbury had tried to recruit Kyler Murray both times when he went to Texas A&M and when he went to Oklahoma. He tried to recruit him, couldn't get him. He said, "If I were a head coach in the NFL, I would draft him number one." So, of course, they brought in good old young Cliff, and that is exactly why he already knew. I mean, as soon as he was hired, he knew he wanted Kyler Murray, and Josh Rosen knew he was gone. It's just they waited and waited day two. They didn't trade him until day two of the draft.
So it's not even really that he necessarily did anything wrong, Josh Rosen. I mean, he may be a good quarterback, but it's totally an incomplete. He didn't even get in until about halfway through the season, and he didn't show as much as some of the other guys. Obviously, Baker Mayfield was great, but the other guys showed a little bit more. But Arizona didn't have a lot of weapons either.
Right. And according to Gil Brandt from SiriusXM's NFL radio, he said if this Murray move with Arizona does not work, he said that will set their program back at least 5 years.
Sure. And then the coach will have to find another coach because, you're not going to be he's tied. He's wedded to this guy, So, that's right.
And Cliff Kingsbury knows quarterbacks, but he was fired from Texas Tech for a reason. He was
and remember, Texas Tech was his alma mater. So his alma mater
His alma mater didn't want him, and he is a good quarterback coach, possibly even a good offensive coordinator, but he's never coached at all at any level in the NFL, so he's taking this chance on Kyler Murray, who Kyler Murray's good. Football's his better sport, but he really only played between Texas A&M and Oklahoma. He played about 13 games. And
talking about on the draft on the TV was that Kyler Murray is only 5'10" tall.
Right.
Even 5'10". They list him at 5'10". I'd say he's closer to 5'8", 5'9".
They said they don't know how he's going to be able to go against all these big guys coming in.
Russell Wilson works for Russell Wilson, but you never know. But like I said, Rosen could have benefited. I mean, it helped him. It helped him. Hey, he got out. He gets to Miami, which could be a little bit better situation, I think.
Well, now there's three of those young quarterbacks. You got Brady in that division. Now you got three of those young last year's quarterbacks. You got Josh Allen. You got the guy with the Jets, whose name is escaping me right at the moment. And you got Rosen in Miami. So now he's got three theoretical young guns to go against him this year in that division. But, the guy from USC, I don't think of his name.
Darnold.
Yeah, Sam Darnold. Yeah. Yep.
Well, now, next year is the year for the quarterback again with Tua and Jalen Hurts coming out and the guy from Clemson. But this draft, I mean, it was a strong defensive draft, especially. So a lot of defense for a lot of teams. I think a lot of teams got a lot of good defensive help. Oh, and this is kind of an off story on this. A group of bachelorettes in Nashville. I don't know if any of y'all saw that story. A group of bachelorettes, I guess, had planned a bachelorette party in Nashville, thinking we're going to go see some music. See, they're mad at the NFL because how dare the NFL have their draft in Nashville when they wanted to go there. And one of them, one of the bridesmaids who planned the party even said, I am mad at the NFL. She basically sent a letter saying, I will not allow my man to watch NFL games, even the Super Bowl, because they ruined my friend's bachelorette.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I'd run the other way from that girl. That wouldn't work.
Any other NFL notes, Chris?
Yeah, we got Tariq Hill. Apparently there was an audio tape that was released by his fiance, or that was found, or whatever they did. And it was,
Chris, a TV station claimed that they have found this.
Channel 5 in Kansas City, KCTV 5 in Kansas City.
Okay. And they found this tape where she was saying, have they played it on the air and so forth?
Yeah, I heard it.
Yeah. They did.
Okay.
They played it.
Yeah.
Yeah, the child that he abused has a broken arm. He punched the child in the chest. And she said that you abused our son. And his quote back to her was, quote, you should be afraid of me too.
Okay, wow. So I think he's going to be suspended for a while because it sounds very similar to the Adrian Peterson.
He may not only be suspended, he may be headed to the Hooskow.
Well, that's true, because if the prosecutors get that. But is that beyond the point? I know there's a certain point, and of course, we're not lawyers.
This is child abuse. This would not be her decision.
So she doesn't have to. Yeah, that's right. The state gets involved with child abuse. That's true.
This is not his first offense, Chris, because she was his fiance in college. And she was abused by him in college and stuck with him. And when we discussed this on Friday night, I think, Pierre, you hit it right on when you said she's still with him because he has money.
That's right.
Right.
That's right. And there was one big thing in college football where Dabo Sweeney got paid. He got a bunch of money. I don't remember how much, but it's like, I think, a 5-year, $90 million or something contract, something like that, I heard. So he got the big bucks, and hey, he's the national championship coach, so that's the way it goes.
And I don't have anything else on the NFL or college.
Jamal might have something, though. Go ahead, Jamal.
A couple of things here. Number one, Donald Sweeney's contract was 10 years, $93 million.
I gave him a ray. I gave him twice as much money as he got. All right.
All right. And number two, about the NFL draft, y'all are talking about the Giants draft because this kid from Duke Jones.
Yep.
Right now, the more I think about it, this might be reminiscent of the draft a couple years ago, whereby it was supposed to be a thin draft, and the Bears jumped up and got Trubisky, and then people jumped up and got Pat Mahomes and Watson.
Think that this Kingsbury is such a great quarterback guy because he coached Pat Mahomes.
Baker Mayfield.
Right. So maybe the Giants figured that this, and at the time of Trubisky being drafted, North Carolina wasn't really that great of a program, and Trubisky is developing.
Trubisky and Mahomes were ranked higher as quarterbacks than Jones. They had the national buzz. Let me put it this way: the Dallas Cowboys radio network doing coverage. They had packages on the top 50 players ready to go. They didn't even have anything on this kid when they picked any audio or anything ready because they weren't expecting him to be there Thursday night when they did their coverage.
Okay.
My question is still about Rose in Miami. If he develops better in Miami, do you foresee that Miami might be which team might ultimately give the Patriots a push?
You've got the three. Okay, you got the three quarterbacks. Buffalo needs to get some offensive weapons in there. I think they brought in somebody with free agency a little bit. They had nobody for Josh Allen to deal with, and he did very well to win the games he won. Sam Darnold had a little bit more material, and he had a pretty good year. I mean, despite the first pass he threw in the NFL, which went for an intercepted touchdown the other way, he came back and had a pretty decent year. And Rosen, again, is basically starting from scratch because he didn't get to play very much. He only came in the second half. These other guys played pretty much all year, except unless they were hurt.
And the Jets also helped themselves in the draft defensively, too. So
they did. They did. So, and Buffalo's already got a good defense, and Miami's isn't bad. So the question is, the Patriots haven't done much for, you know, they did pick up a wide receiver in the draft. They got to get some offensive weapons themselves. I mean, they don't have a whole lot. This isn't good. And does anybody know, while we're talking about the Patriots, anybody know about this quarterback from Auburn they took in the fourth round? Is he pretty good or not?
He's okay.
He's okay.
Okay. Yeah.
Not to interrupt, guys, but we're down to probably about 13 minutes before our.
Okay.
We may want to get our baseball in, and then do we want to get it?
Since we got Pierre, do we want to get a quick NASCAR report?
Yes. Yesterday, Tyler Reddick won the Xfinity race, and today Chase Elliott, the son of Bill Elliott, won in Talladega.
Okay. All right.
And Pierre, you'll be happy to know that our team is tied in the bottom of the 13th.
I know that. But, you know, our station stopped broadcasting at the top of the 12th.
Oh, okay.
So did the Des Moines station, but they are now back.
Did they go to the hockey game or something? Why did they stop? They just stopped for a while?
They just went
automation. Wow, automation. They're a great thing. All right.
But go ahead, Chris, and I will try to update that score while you're going through everything else.
Yeah, okay. We're starting with, of course, the standings going into this morning's action or today's action. So in the American League East, we had Tampa Bay at 17-9. The Yankees at 16-11, they've been kicking butt on the West Coast. They have won all their games on the West Coast. They went out and swept the Angels, and now they swept the Giants. I think they won 7 in a row out there, 9 overall. That's going into today's scores, but they're 16-11, so they've really righted the ship. Toronto, 13-14 in third place. The Red Sox ship is sinking. They going into today are 11-16, and they lost again today to Tampa Bay, as you'll hear. So Tampa Bay, who they swept three games last week in Tampa Bay, returned the favor and swept the two that were played here. Friday night was a rainout. Baltimore at 10-18 going into today. In the Central, Minnesota at 15-9, Cleveland 15-11, Detroit 12-13. The White Sox 10-14, and Kansas City 9-18. In the West, Seattle 18-12, Houston 16-11, Texas 13-13, Oakland 14-15, and the Angels are 11-17. In the National League, in the East, Philadelphia 15-12, the Mets 13-13, Atlanta 12-14, Washington 11-14. So again, all four of those teams right there. Miami 8-19. At the Central, St. Louis 16-10. Cardinals improved this year. Milwaukee has dropped back a bit, 15-13. The Cubs are 13-12 right now. Going into today's action, I should say. Pirates 12-13. Cincinnati 11-15. In the West, we have the Dodgers at 18-11. San Diego 16-11. Arizona 16-12. Colorado 13-14, and the Giants 11-16. For Sunday's action, we have Tampa Bay over the Red Sox 5-2. Philadelphia beat Miami 5-1. Toronto over Oakland 5-4 in 11 innings up in Toronto. The Mets beat Milwaukee 5-2. Atlanta over Colorado 8-7. Washington beat San Diego 7-6. And that was also in 11 innings. We had Minnesota over Baltimore 4-1. The White Sox beat the Tigers 4-1. The Angels beat Kansas City 7-3. St. Louis beat Cincinnati 5-2. We had the Dodgers over Pittsburgh 7-6 in Los Angeles. Texas clobbered Seattle in Seattle 14-1. We had the Yankees continue their hot ways in the West, beating San Francisco 11-5. And what do we got on the Cubs there, Perry?
They are in the bottom of the 13th, two on, two out, and a two-ball, one-strike count on the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Okay, and so that's
it is still 3-3.
Okay.
While we are on the Cubs, let's tell you about today in AAA here in Des Moines. We had 15 runs in one inning, which ties a modern-day Pacific Coast League record. We had two grand slams in one inning, those hit by Philip Evans, an infielder, and Johnny Field, an outfielder. We've had numerous walks in that game, and Addison Russell also hit his first home run, and he was on base five times in that game. So,
okay. How far away is Addison Russell from coming? What is his timetable? What's going on with him?
He can be activated on Friday, and now the bases are loaded with two outs.
Now, he has to still face a suspension, does he, when he's activated?
No, this is the end of his suspension.
Okay, so he can be activated Friday.
In the last seven games of your suspension, you can play at AAA, which that's what they're doing with him. He's playing at Iowa.
Okay.
Jerry, go ahead.
Okay, well, the Pittsburgh Pirates ship is sinking as well. That's a terrible pun. We've got the Texas Rangers coming up, and then we got the Oakland A's, two in Texas, and then the Oakland A's come in next weekend to Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, the Cubs are now making a pitching change.
Okay. All right. Oh, and then the other game tonight, I forgot to mention, we have the Cleveland Indians at Houston. And I need to comment on this for a minute. We used to go on last year about the Magnificent Seven, which was the Red Sox, Yankees, Mets, Dodgers, Cubs, Giants, and who was the seventh team? Magnificent Seven. Giants, Dodgers, Cubs, Cardinals. Red Sox, Yankees, and Mets. Yep, seven. And it's really they've broken that up. I think they've decided if you want to watch baseball, you'll watch baseball.
And they're starting the games an hour earlier this year.
That's
too.
Right.
And,
they're starting at 7:05 Eastern.
On that game, Chris, the Indians have a 1-0 lead in the bottom of the sixth.
Right. And this is a playoff matchup from last year. I mean, the Indians were swept by Houston and went on to the next series against the Red Sox. And, you know that the NFL will put on playoff matchups again if it's available. They don't all play each other because of the different divisions of the way the schedule falls. But certainly you'll get any playoff matchups they can ever put on national TV on a Sunday night or a Monday night or, Thursday. You'll see them. And so MLB is starting to think like that and say, hey, there's other players in the league besides these other places. And, the Braves, of course, are part of the mix now, too, because they had a division winning team last year. You'll probably see too much of the Red Sox this year because the Red Sox, unless things really change drastically, and they're losing the traditional way. That one day the starting pitching is at fault, another time it's the bullpen, another time they don't score. They're losing all the ways they won last year. They won 100, and this will be interesting to see if it continues like this. They won 108 games last year. Can they lose like 40 more games, win 40 less games this year? Something like that. That's what they're on a pace to do right now. So actually, let me see what time it is, because what we could do, Sean,
quick, I was going to ask Jerry, we do not have the field all announced on who's starting when, but any thoughts on any horse to watch for Saturday's Kentucky Derby, Jerry? Oh, Jerry?
Okay. I didn't get to watch the Florida Derby because we had some power plus, so I don't know. I'm kind of in the dark as to what horses to watch.
Okay.
Okay.
Well,
all right. Well, you're a horse racing expert. So
yeah, we'll be coming in. For those that are in the Sports Lounge group, we'll be getting the field for you Thursday or Friday.
Yep.
And we have company coming in, so I might have to record the Derby, but we'll try to get you results.
Okay.
And we'll talk about it Sunday. But anyway, yeah, we'll definitely have you here Sunday to talk about it. But before we get into our feature, let me see, what do we have, about 5 minutes left?
About 5 minutes before the feature. So you can do that, and then I'll introduce the feature, and then we'll go.
And I don't, do we have any status on Treasure Island Oldies? Yes, no, maybe? Or
I don't think it's changing any right now.
It's
Probably some Robbie the Robot, who, by the way, like I always say, Robbie the Robot does a very good job. I like Robbie.
One of the best robots there is.
Yes, but of course you can, if you ever want to hear this great, exciting show, one of our 39 best shows of all time, go to legendoldies.com, download it directly, look up the episode, or in your podcaster, type in worldwide, all one word, space legend, and select Sports Lounge Live, or you can also select All Things Radio and Coffee Club. Those are both very good shows, too. I recommend you select all three.
And
listen to them at least 10 times a week, Listen to them at least 10 times a week. I recommend
absolutely.
That. And, or...
And the Cubs game
Lady
is headed
a,
to the 14th.
Okay.
Right. In the 14th, and on your Lady A, you just say, play Worldwide Legend Podcasts, and then just keep saying next until you hit the next one, because it goes in reverse order of as they get posted, or 773-572.
Yeah, go to the 14th. Let's go.
Or 773-572-7715, which is also where you can listen to the it on your phone by pressing 7, rewind, 8, pause, 9, fast forward, and then hit the pound key to leave us a message. message, so you can listen to it over there and leave us a message. Of course, we got all kinds of great shows on here, All Things Radio, Coffee Club, Bill, Country Gold Show. By the way, we want to remind you, if you like country, Robbie likes country on Saturdays, too.
So yes, he does.
Saturdays,
he does.
6 to 9 p.m. Eastern, Robbie the Robot plays country, you know, right before the
Saturday night country show. Style, you could call it, you know?
Yeah. Saturday night snafu, but... You know, and I don't know. I wonder if John Havlicek likes country.
I don't know. He was from a small town. I think it was Perrysville, Ohio, or something like that. I asked him to say where he was born. I couldn't figure out where in Ohio it is, but it's pretty far from Cleveland. Closest thing was Canton, but that was still about 80 miles away, so I don't know. But let me tell you about this feature that we have today. This is not really to put Johnny Most and John Havlicek on the map, but it's what's iconic. They're you know, it's like Bobby Thompson and Russ Hodges. They joined at the hip from this moment on. It was April 15th, 1965, and it was the seventh game of the Eastern Conference Final between the Celtics and the 76ers. The 76ers had just picked up Wilt Chamberlain at the All-Star break, come back to Philadelphia. He'd been with the Warriors. He went to Philadelphia with them, to San Francisco with them, came back in a trade. And so they were going back and forth. Everybody had won their home games. So this, of course, the Celtics had been first in the division, so they were going to play that home game here, which they did on that Thursday night, April 15th, 1965. The Celtics had a very slim lead. It was a back-and-forth game. Celtics were leading most of the time. But when we pick up action, we're probably, if it's the excerpt I think we're going to be doing, we'll be picking it up with just a few seconds ago. The people you will hear on here, Johnny Most, a very familiar voice, a younger Johnny Most, won't be quite the gravelly, he used to say gargled with Santa flush. Isn't quite that gravelly as he used to be, but he was starting to get down there. He, of course, was a big smoker, and he would smoke a couple of packs a day, so that's where his voice went. Jim Pansula was the color man. He was an announcer at WHDH, and that's what they used to do. He was the color man with the Celtics. They would have an announcer who would be the host when they were on the road. They didn't travel. Johnny Most would go by himself, and he'd be the host. They did that for the Bruins, too. Bob Wilson, that's how Bob Wilson got started with the Bruins. And the guy giving a little bit of expertise is Al Grenet. Al Grenet was the coach of St. Anselm's College in Manchester, New Hampshire, and he would come in for the playoffs. And he was a friend of Johnny Most. And so I think you'll hear all three of them if it's the expert excerpt. I'm thinking it is. And so I guess, Bill, if you've got it ready, we'll go out on this excerpt when Havlicek stole the ball. So go for it, Bill.
Well, yeah, you're going to hear a little bit of all of it here. It's going to be actually, we'll wrap up with that. We'll start out with the 50th anniversary one first, and we'll just go from there, Chris. Thanks, everyone.
Okay. All right. Take it easy, everybody.
I was just thinking I did what I was supposed to do. I didn't realize it was going to become something that's being remembered 50 years later. I never realized it would last this long, but it seems like it's everlasting.
Hi, my name is John Havlicek. I played for the Boston Celtics. And on April 15th, 1965, I stole the ball.
Number 17, John Havlicek, just barreled through the traffic to get a good spot for a rebound. Havlicek is a real scrambler.
When he came in, we saw that he had the speed, he had the hands, and he had the desire to want to win.
Stolen by Havlicek. Havlicek, a 3-on-2 break.
But the one thing that got to me, he never got tired.
Good play that time by Havlicek. He kept moving.
This guy, sometimes 10 minutes into a game, he was not even sweating.
I wanted to be able to not be concerned with me being tired, but saying to myself, it's a mental game now. Who's going to give in first? And I never wanted to give in, so that's where I kept on pushing.
The Philadelphia 76ers, a threat to the world champion Boston Celtics, now that Wilt Chamberlain's back in town. Look for big things from the Dipper.
In 1965, Wilt Chamberlain was traded back east to the 76ers. And from that moment on, you would have to assume that there would be an inevitable big confrontation.
In 1965, Philadelphia had their mind set on beating the Celtics. They were out for there.
So now they're playing Philadelphia in the Eastern Conference Finals. And it's a seven-game series. It's a terrific series. And here we go with Game 7 in Boston, and it's a one-point game.
I scored the last 10 points. We were behind. I scored 10 points, and we had a few seconds to go.
It goes into Chamberlain. Chamberlain turns and stops the ball. There are 5 seconds left.
Wilt has just dunked it to cut the lead to one. And Russell's taking the ball out of bounds.
But an interesting thing happened. You had the basket with four corners on it. And on each corner of the backboard, you had a guide wire that was attached to the balcony. And it was kept in place by these brackets and wires.
The guide wire wasn't there all year. They just put it up for, I think, that game or a couple of games to keep the backboard steady.
I did not trust anybody else to take it out but me. I want to take it out because I'd make sure that I could make a good pass.
There are 5 seconds left. Now, Russell is...
He loses the ball off the support. Russell lost the ball off the support. And Boston's only leading by 1 point. And the ball goes to Philadelphia.
Whoa, this just changed the whole atmosphere of this ballgame.
The thing that separated Boston from everybody else was Bill Russell. And the idea that Bill Russell had screwed up was certainly not comforting to him. Man, it was shocking to everybody.
We go in the huddle, and all I could say was, guys, we got to do something.
110 to 109. Now the tension is really there. This change of event has hit us right smack in the nose.
This is a real bad situation. This is the ballgame.
Celtics, of course, cannot foul. They have to play as tight a defense as they possibly can in these final 5 seconds, or that would really be it.
Red Auerbach always said, you always try and look for an edge in some situation. I said, what kind of edge can I find out of this situation? So I said, the only thing I could think of was the official has the ball. He hands it to Harold Greer. He has 5 seconds to put it into play. So when he handed him the ball, I started to count to myself, 1,001, 1,002. I got to 1,003, 1,004, and I knew that he was having trouble finding Chet Walker. So I just gave a little peek like this, and I was able to catch the ball as it came out of his hands. I think that the good players see the game in slow motion, and actually they see what's going to happen before it actually happens.
The Celtics are leading by 1 point, 110 to 109. There are 5 seconds left. Greer is going to throw the ball in. Johnny? Greer is putting the ball on a play. He gets it out deep, and Havlicek steals it.
So rabid and so wild about the victory that as they came to me after stealing the ball, they start tugging at my jersey, and I left the floor without my jersey.
I remember seeing somebody grabbing Havlicek and holding him up in the air, and I thought it was Bill Russell of all people because he had called on someone to please help me.
Bill Russell wants to grab Havlicek. He hugs him. He squeezes John Havlicek.
I've never been hugged so hard in my life when Russell got to me because, you know, the play was made that saved the day.
Havlicek saved this ball game.
The next morning on the radio station that did the Celtic games, which was WHDH 850 on the dial, 850 AM, they played this Johnny Most excerpt of the description over and over again. And basically it wound up immortalizing both of them.
It was his call that did it because many balls are stolen that dictate the outcome of a game, but he sort of went overboard, and I'm glad he did.
Greer is putting the ball on a play. He gets it out deep, and Havlicek steals it.
It's extraordinary. There's nothing like it in NBA history. Nothing. The NBA equivalent of Russ Hodges, Giants win a pennant in 51, or Jack Buck, you know, I don't believe what I just saw. No, this is the most famous call outside of baseball in the history of American sports broadcasting.
Oh, boy, what a play by Havlicek at the end of this ballgame.
I'm just proud of the fact that I was able to be there to do what I did.
A spectacular series comes to an end in spectacular fashion.
And enjoy it years and years later.